real salvation started. At least we commemorate that day. And so as we read the Bible, reading it through one time, if that was enough, it's not like one of the classics or something that you would read through once or twice and be content with that. Like Jack London, White Fang, you know, how many have read that? But anyway, okay, a few of us have. But I don't go back and reread that. But you know what? This book right here, I do reread it. And so we're going to talk about something this morning that you have probably heard a lot of talk about it because you've been around a few Easters. But I'd like for us to consider the Easter message this morning, and I would like for us to look at it from a little different slant, especially since we had a Seder last Saturday, a week ago, and Communion last Sunday. And so, if you will, turn with me to the book of John, the book of John, chapter 2. This is how we got to the place we are at this morning. And so I would like us to read over this. And if you've read it before, I hope you will enjoy it again. But John chapter 2, beginning at verses 13 through 22. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And said to them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said to him, what sign showest thou us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. I find some interesting things going on in this account of Jesus' cleansing of the temple, and some of the things that immediately followed this. I would hope that some of these things would be an encouragement to all of us. So this morning, while we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to look back at some of the things that led up to that and see how they can apply in our own lives. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord and let's ask him to help us. Father, we are so grateful to have your word and to be able to read it and reread it, and to have your Holy Spirit living in our hearts. And so, Father, this morning as we gather together here, we ask that our hearts will be yielded to the leading of your Holy Spirit, that our minds might be open to his giving us more knowledge and a better understanding of your word. And then, Father, if there be anybody here visiting with us, that they too might come to understand and to know, and this might be the day, if they do not know Jesus, that they might find him as their personal Savior. Thank you, Father, for giving us this time together. May you be glorified. May your will be done. And may Jesus Christ be lifted up. And we will praise you for what you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've mentioned about my observations in the past about this particular passage, as Jesus was cleansing the temple, how that he made a scourge, that's a little whip with several lashes on it. And usually they tie little weights at the end of those lashes so that it can do more damage. But he did not use that scourge on the people, not the ones that were selling things. He drove them out. They probably thought he was going to use it on them, and so they fled. But he used it to get the animals moving, and he did not hurt the animals. And it was one thing that was sort of significant. He did not hurt anyone. He never hurt anybody. Jesus did not come to this earth to hurt people. He came to this earth to help people and to pay for their sin. And so when he cleansed the temple at that time, one of the groups that he did not touch, he just spoke to, and that was the seller of the doves. Because if he had overturned the cage, he would probably have hurt the animals inside. So he didn't do that. He told the sellers to get your stuff and get out. That was the only one he did that to. The oxen and the sheep and stuff, he drove them out. But he didn't drive out the doves. He did not hurt anyone in his cleansing of the temple. But there was a purpose behind it. So in verse 18, that became part of a discourse that was used in describing of the relationship to the Jew to the Messiah. He said, "The Jews seek a sign, but no sign shall be given unto them, except the sign of Jonah, which was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. And so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." If you wonder where he got that from, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 12. And so if you'd like to turn there, Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 38. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. And you will see why he referred to the Jews who sought a sign. Matthew 12, 38. "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, 'Master, we would see a sign from thee.' But he answered and said unto them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Actually, these two passages help us establish exactly when Jesus was crucified. One thing I have made note of, and you might want to do the same as you're watching television or you're hearing people report, there are certain churches and certain seminaries who teach their pastors that Jesus was crucified on Friday. They are wrong. Jesus was not crucified on Friday. He was crucified on Thursday, and this passage proves it. So let me share with you just, I've had people come to me this week and say, "When was he really crucified?" And I want to share with you. To do that, I need to go to the day of his resurrection, which was Sunday, the first day of the week. That's what Scripture tells us. And we'll work backward. He said he would be in the earth 3 days and three nights, just as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights. So if we take Sunday as a day of resurrection, Saturday, the day before, and Saturday night is 1 day and one night. Friday, the day before that, is another day and another night. And the third, he rose on Sunday, which is the third day, and they've got to have a third night. That would be Thursday night. So he was actually crucified Thursday, beginning at 9 o'clock on Thursday morning, and by 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon, he had given up the ghost and had died. So that's 3 days and three nights. It was not on Friday. The next part of the opening of this opening passage we want to look at is verse 19 through 21. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. Wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now that's not quite true. It's true, but it's not true. If you had been in the service this morning, the early morning service, you would find out that when Mary went and told the disciples originally that Jesus had risen from the dead because an angel had told her, they did not believe her. It wasn't until a little time later when they had thought about things and thought about some of the things that Jesus had said that they remembered this. Their not believing is recorded in Mark 16, 10, and 11. We read that this morning in the early service. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. How can that be? Sometimes you and I are told things that we don't believe right away. Do we have a chance to think about it? Do we have a chance to consider and maybe put facts together? And when we do that, we say, oh, that's the way that thing works. And so they didn't believe when Mary first went to them and told them that Jesus had risen from the dead. Most of the world today does not believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. Most of the world today has never even heard of Jesus. As Connie and I have been involved in ministry over the last 30 years, moving around as missionaries, we've been in mobile home parks where we've held vacation Bible schools, and in fact, one nearby here, I won't tell you where it is, but it's not too far from here, and we lived there for a while, and we had a vacation Bible school before we left there and went to New Jersey, I guess it was. And we had a vacation Bible school during the summer. Some of the kids had never heard of Jesus. What? Kids in our area never having heard of Jesus? Yes, we have people in this area who do not know who Jesus is. And you know whose fault that is? That's our fault. Because we haven't been telling people. We haven't been telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We haven't been telling them who he is. And so we ran upon kids a few years ago here in the Goose Creek area that had never heard of Jesus. And we had a chance to tell them about him, and they had a chance then to respond to who he was and trust him as their personal Savior. We saw some of them do that. And that was a great blessing to us, and that's what it's all about. That's what today is all about. There's a reason for us telling people about Jesus. Because he does live. He did rise from the dead. So, who was present when these things took place? The disciples were present. And they thought about it and they remembered that this is what he had said. And so they believed it. John 20, verses 24 through 25. John 20. Verses 24 through 25, there was one of the disciples who really didn't believe. We call him Doubting Thomas. And his name was Thomas, and in verse 24 it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him," now these are the disciples of Christ testifying, "We have seen the Lord," but he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands a print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Somehow I get the idea that the world wants the same privilege. They want to be able to put their fingers in the nail prints of his hand. They want to be able to thrust their hand into his side where the spear pierced it and the water and the blood poured out. Because they do not believe. And there's a reason they do not believe. And we're going to really get into that reason next week in our morning service. I'm promoting that, by the way, folks. Be here. But next week in the morning service, because there's a reason they don't believe. They don't believe when you tell them this, because they are so used to being lied to. It's hard to get the truth anymore today. You will get it here. And for those of you who are visiting, I always tell my visitors, I try and put them at ease, nobody ever leaves with a tooth mark. Okay? Nobody ever leaves with a tooth mark. So you can relax a little bit, you know, it's not going to hurt. But we do want you to get the truth. We want you to know the truth of what God's word says. Not what I say, not what anybody else says. What Jesus said, yes. What God has said in his word, yes. But that's the truth, and that's where we want to be. That's where we're going to be this morning. So, Thomas did not believe because he did not see it with his own eyes. Now, there are times that you might see something and still not believe it. My wife and I have done that. We see something and our mind completely distorts what we're seeing and we don't understand it. We actually, one night, we had several friends visiting, and we went out on the, we were there leaving, and we went out on the front porch, and I looked through the trees across the road. It was probably 400 yards, 500 yards, and it looked like there was a flying saucer sitting in the field across the road from us, spinning. My mind says, this can't be. My eyes said, but there it is in front of you. And everybody came out on the porch, and they all looked, and their mind said the same thing. It can't be, but there it is, a flying saucer in front of us. And slowly, not in the pitch black at night, slowly the flying saucer began to lift up. We were looking through the trees at it, and it was rotating. And it lifted up, and we were standing. I ran in the house and got the TV. That was in the days of the big old, you know, TV cameras, video cameras, and took it out. I was going to take pictures of it. But by the time I got back out there, it was above the trees. So we could see that it was a dirigible. And it was the Blockbuster dirigible, and those were letters running around it. But for just a few moments, my mind and my eyes didn't fit. We're like that. You and I are like that. That's real life. And it's sort of like, it was like that with the disciples, especially with Thomas. Thomas hadn't seen him when he came back and met with the disciples in the upper room where they were behind locked doors, and he suddenly appeared to them. And so Thomas would not believe because his mind said one thing. And this had never happened before, people. Oh, Jesus had raised people from the dead. The disciples had raised people from the dead. But no man had ever raised himself from the dead. And so Thomas was not ready to receive it. Now the apostles didn't believe until Jesus appeared to them and upbraided them for being unbelieving. And if he appeared here today, I don't know how I would react. I might break my nose on the floor. You might too. Chapter 20 of the Gospel of John deals with the resurrection of Jesus. And the reaction of the various individuals involved in some of the aspects of the resurrection. You see, you are all familiar with women who went to the tomb and found it empty. And they're reporting to the disciples, only not to be believed. As we go further into this chapter, we come to Jesus' first appearing to the men. And that you'll find in John 20, verses 19 through 23. John 20, 19 through 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. My Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, John doesn't give us all the details that some of the other apostles give us, some of the other gospels provide. And to get the rest of the details, we want to turn and look at Luke chapter 24. It's going to be the same incident, but there's going to be a little more detail filled in. Luke 24, beginning at verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. This is the same incident, different perspective, different person, Dr. Luke. Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Now, I want you to understand one of the ways that Jesus worked, and it's an example for us to work the same way. Verse 40, And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you all, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Jesus did the one thing that we are all comfortable with. We did it this morning after the early morning service. He ate. He ate food in front of them. And that's what some of the times that we have some of the best fellowship around this church is when we're all eating together. We had a breakfast after the morning service. And there was lots of food. And so we sat down together and we ate. We were comfortable with each other because we all eat. And that was one of the things he did to put the disciples at ease. That's why I mentioned no teeth marks, okay? That was to put you at ease. So that you wouldn't be, when's it coming, okay? When do I get bit? Okay. No. Jesus put the disciples at ease by doing something they were used to doing. And we need to take an example of that for ourselves, in that when we are trying to witness to people, we shouldn't be higher than them, better than them, more holy than them. We should be on their own level, doing things that they are comfortable with, things that we are comfortable with, just talking. Showing them. And so that's what he did. And why do you and I believe in Jesus as our Savior? Do you remember what the scripture said? that we are to be ready to give an answer to them that ask about the hope that's in us. That's why we go over this every Easter. That's why we go over it, the different parts of the Bible, time after time, so that you and I are comfortable with him and with the things that he did that made him the Son of God, our Savior, our Master, our Lord. Everything that we have looked at this morning is a testimony to the people who were involved with Jesus before and after his resurrection. They were witnesses to the truth of what happened on that Sunday long ago. Since then, millions have accepted him as personal Savior. It is not an unusual thing, people, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a privilege. It's a very high thing. God is pleased with it, and his Holy Spirit works in our heart to perform a miracle as the Holy Spirit indwells us and we are born again. But it is a very common thing, and millions have gone through it. Was the resurrection real? Or was it just a figment of our imagination, a fantasy that we have, a tradition that we've been passing down and down and down? What about the people of Jerusalem? How do we know that Jesus really rose from the dead? We have God's word. We have this book we call the Bible. And it tells us about some things that took place. Why do the Jews not believe? Why do the Jews not believe? Because their leadership lied to them. Their leadership paid the soldiers who were guarding the tomb when the stone was rolled away and Jesus arose. They paid them to lie. And the Jewish people from that time on believed the lie that the disciples came and stole away his body. But you and I know better. And there are several reasons that we know better. But let me just give you a few testimonies out of God's word. We find one of them in Matthew chapter 27. It begins at 51, but we're going to start with verse 52. I'm just going to read two verses, 52 and 53. The Jewish people were looking for a Messiah. The week before, when Jesus had entered Palm Sunday, they had said, you know, long live the King. Hallelujah. Hosanna. The King is coming. And then they crucified the King on Thursday. In Matthew 27, 52 and 53, God slides a lot of little incidents in the middle of some of his chapters that people read right over or skim right over and don't realize the significance of them. But let me show you the significance of what's written in verses 52 and 53 of Matthew 27. Beginning at verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. The Jewish people of Jerusalem saw many of the bodies of the saints, Moses, David, arise, a bodily resurrection, the first resurrection when Jesus arose. You notice that? Graves were opened and many bodies of the saints slept. They came out of the graves after his resurrection. He was the first. Then these others were resurrected. One day you and I will be given new bodies. Those who have gone on before us, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be given new bodies when he comes back for his church. And he is coming back. That's one of the hopes we have. They appeared to many. So there were more witnesses, witnesses that held their peace. Jesus was seen by many after his resurrection. He was seen by the apostles at least three times. And there were other people who saw him. But let's stay with what the scriptures tell us about one incident at the seashore. John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verses 12 through 14. Now, Peter had led the men. Peter was a leader. Peter had led the men. Jesus had been crucified. Jesus had been buried. The women came back and said he had risen, but they didn't believe, remember? They didn't believe. And so Peter, leading some of the men, what was their vocation? They were all fishermen. He said, let's go fishing. I'm going fishing. I've heard that on Sunday sometimes. I'm going fishing. And so they went fishing. And we pick it up in John chapter 21, verses 12 through 14. Jesus comes to the shore. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. We're looking at reasons why we have the hope we have. Another sighting of a resurrected Jesus. So the fact is well established that Jesus did rise from the dead. The Apostle Paul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus some 2 years after he had already ascended to heaven. Paul, on his way to Damascus, met Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and he was saved. There were others. The Apostle John saw Jesus 60 years after he ascended to heaven, as he was isolated there, banished on the Isle of Patmos. Jesus came to him and dictated to him the book of Revelation, last book of the New Testament. So there were many who saw Jesus resurrected after his resurrection. But there's one other event that I want to share with you this morning that you might understand. If somebody asks you, why do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? We're going to look at that. Turn to Book of Acts, chapter 1. Book of Acts, chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. So we're going to look at this one other event. This is one of the most important sightings of Jesus after his resurrection because it gives us confidence that there will be at least one more sighting of Jesus. We have confidence that there will be one more sighting of Jesus. Hasn't happened yet. We're going to see it. I hope we are. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That happened on the day of Pentecost, 10 days after this particular action took place. Verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So as he talked to them and spoke to them, he ascended up into the clouds out of their sight. Now, if it had ended right there, we'd all have questions. But it didn't end there. God never leaves you hanging. Never. Let's go on. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. They weren't men, people. They were angels. Which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. There's our promise, people. He's coming back. He's coming back to pick up his church, to get his people, and to take us home to be with him. Some of us won't have to go through that thing we call death. Some of us will simply meet him in the air. We've got the testimony of an angel. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to get his church. So why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ so important to the Christians of today? If anyone does not believe that Jesus rose from the dead, they cannot be saved. If anyone does not believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, they cannot be saved. You say, how can you say that, Pastor? I thought, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God says so in his word, and I'm going to share it with you right now. Book of Romans, chapter 10. Book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans 10, right behind Acts. Romans 10, beginning at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. If you're a Jew or if you're a Gentile, which most of us are, and you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, we'll both be saved the same way. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There it is right there. As we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, just one question. Have you believed? Have you believed? And if you haven't, this would be a great morning for you to do so. This would be a great morning for you to do so. You can do so right where you're sitting, by simply telling Jesus and God that you do believe, and believe in your heart. Repent of your sin. Turn away from it. Ask him to come into your heart that you might be saved, believing that he rose from the dead. That's why we celebrate today. That's why we celebrate it every year. Jews have their Passover that they celebrate each year. We have what we call Easter. And the reason we have it is that our faith depends upon it. Our salvation depends upon believing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We're going to have a closing hymn of invitation. And as we sing this closing hymn, it's just four verses long. If you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be standing right here at the front. I'll be glad to take you aside, and we'll go to my office, and I can show you in God's Word what it says you need to do, and you can talk to God there and not be embarrassed, and you can be saved today if you're not already saved. We're going to close, and this is sort of a hymn of invitation, in Christ alone. And as we sing that, I'll be here at the front if you need Jesus Christ. I'll be here for three of the four verses. On the fourth verse, I'm going to take the masked lady and go to the back. Okay. And we'll take anything of value you want to give.